You guys can turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 6. Continue to preach through that. I do have one quick announcement. There is no basketball today. The YMCA has some indoor soccer tournament stuff going on, but Mr. LaFountain and I, we're both working from a little different angle here and see if we got some things in the future. Maybe we're going to be able to get together once a month without having some of these, having these sort of issues. So you guys that are into that sort of fellowship, pray we can make that happen. All right, a couple things from the public reading. You know, ultimately, this is fulfilled through the coming of Jesus Christ. The Word being near us, in our mouth, in our heart. Really, that only is truly applicable under the New Covenant. It's because one did ascend into heaven. It's because one did descend into the lowermost parts of the earth. Brethren, the distance from hell to heaven, that's a long way. That is a long way. You think you can be saved by your own works, by your own doings? You try to traverse that on your own. You try going down there, breaking the bonds of sin and of death. Ain't going to happen. Get stuck there. Aren't you thankful for Christ? He came. He saw. He conquered death and hell, didn't He? He came and He built that bridge for us. He come back as the Holy Spirit to help us now on this path to heaven. That's not ultimately what I'm preaching about today. Well, it is kind of. It's all together. But Romans chapter 6 is where we're headed. I just want to say again, man, I am so thankful for the brethren. That includes the brothers and the sisters. You know, it's easy for me to consider every day the... You know, David Dobson did a great job this morning in the with the little guys. That was fun. The little pyramid stand and the foundation. And you know, I was thinking, remind me, you know, Norma had the idea for that. She's like, we got a lot of kids around here. You know that opening? That'd be cool to do with the kind of pitch it towards the younger guys. And you know what? It's been great benefit, not just for the kids, but for learning to communicate at that level. If we can't communicate at a young, that'll tell you where you're at in your communication skills. Let's just put it that way. If kids are bored, they don't pretend to be interested. So it helps you. But it's also been good for the kids. And then, you know, it was great. Gary's stewardship, man, that was awesome. Those things happen in one way or another in all of our lives. And to think back through it and be appreciative and give thanks to God for all things. And it was wonderful. And then Brother Clint, you know, the Lord's Supper meditation. Yeah, this is life. The one way we get this life. And you come in here and, man, I get encouraged. You guys encourage me. But it's easy to think about the guys and what they're doing. But, you know, there's a lot of gals that teach Sunday school class every week. A lot of gals that help in the Christian school every day. There's a lot of gals that made some good stuff. Now, there's a couple guys made some good stuff. A lot of gals that made some good stuff that I'm smelling, and I better get preaching so we can get to that. But I am appreciative. I'm appreciative for the brethren. And you guys encourage me. And I figure if you guys get me motivated to the point where I'm able to get Kevin to take it up a notch, we're doing good. Eh? Got Kevin forgetting what he was doing this morning. We were so excited. That's great. Now, Romans chapter 6, let's start here in verse 1. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace might increase? May it never be. How should we who died to sin still live in it? Or do you not know that all of us who have been immersed into Christ Jesus have been immersed into His death? Therefore, we've been buried with Him through immersion into death, in order that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we become united with Him in the likeness of His death, certainly we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with Him, that our body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is freed from sin. Now, if we've died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer is master over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey its lusts. And do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? May it never be. Do you not know that when you present yourselves to someone as slaves for obedience, you are slaves of the one whom you obey? Either of sin resulting in death, or of obedience resulting in righteousness. But thanks be to God, that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed, and having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we do thank you and praise you that you are God. While you have this perfect plan, it is good news that the sinner is put to death in the waters of immersion, and that you raise a new creature, that you raise us up to walk in newness of life. Father, I'm thankful for this message of hope and of victory that you give us through Jesus Christ our Lord. I ask that you be with me today as I preach your word, that I'll communicate it clearly, and that each one of us can, as we progress through this and really consider your ways, that we would understand what it means to live by faith, and that we would have life and have it abundantly. We ask this all through the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I want to go back to Ezekiel 37 for just a second. I know I read a long section there, and I got another little section I want to read, but this is I am fired up this morning, maybe particularly so, because I get motivated, I get encouraged by Romans chapter 6. You know, it's been working on it here a few weeks already, but when we understand what the Lord has done for us, that He has brought us up from the dead, that our failures don't define us, that the mistakes from the past don't limit who we are today, that God has put to death that old man, the sinner. I'll come back to that in a second. But that's motivating to me. Ezekiel chapter 37. I want you to just read the first few verses with me. The hand of the Lord was upon me. He brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley. And it was full of bones. He caused me to pass among them round about. And behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley. And lo, they were very dry. He said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. Again he said to me, Prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter you, that you may come to life. And I will put sinews on you, make flesh grow back on you, cover you with skin, and put breath in you, that you may come alive. And you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied there was a noise, and behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, sinews were on them, and flesh grew, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they come to life. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they came to life, and stood on their feet, and exceedingly great army. Brian, this is a prophecy of you. God foretold. This is God's vision of the church. You understand that? God sees us as a resurrected army, standing on our feet, filled with life of His Spirit, ready to march. That's God's picture. He foretold that long before the coming of Christ. That is the way God sees you. Now, here's my question. Is God right? God is right. Really, there's no question about that. God is right. So, brother, we need to get right. We need to get this picture at a personal level. See, this is God's army. This is the kingdom of heaven. These are God's people for eternity. A resurrected army that's filled with life. At a personal level, do you have that picture? Do you see that? Do you know who you are? Do you run with that? We've talked already in this series on Romans chapter 6 about immersion as the beginning of our new life in Christ. There is no other way. Let's just make this really simple. There, you cannot bring yourself up from the dead. Only God can do that. I'm covering some stuff in my Sunday school class, and one of the young guys said, "How come? Where do people come up with some of this stuff? You know, accept Jesus into your heart." Gene was asking us, "Where do they come up with this stuff?" And to come up with this stuff is people trying to shortcut. And not in here. And you can't do this on your own. There is one way to get into Christ Jesus. That's be immersed for the right reasons. Obviously in faith and those preceding things taking place. I always like new Christians. Motivate me, encourage me. Jennifer, exciting to me. Hit the waters in faith this week. Man, that reminds me what this is about. Encouragement for all of us. This is where we enter into Christ. This is where the old man dies. The sinner is done away with, buried 6 feet deep. And any of those old bad habits, they don't define you anymore. They are not who you are. And we worked on that last week, that the sinner dies there. This week I want to turn our attention a little more of the second half of that. Romans 6:11 says, "Even so, consider yourselves." It means think about yourselves this way. See yourselves this way. Dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. And we worked last week on dead to sin. And I will just throw in one other thing on that. Was talking to Chris this morning and about her sister becoming a Christian for just a second. It something Chris said reminded me of this. You know, prior to us coming into Christ, most of us don't even realize there's a spiritual war going on. I mean, somewhere we maybe did, but it got beat out. We are on the losing side. We don't have a clue even what's going on. You become a Christian and all of a sudden you realize you are in the middle of this thing, aren't you? There is a spiritual battle. It's strong. And I'm going to just compare it for a second on a little mini scale. Put yourself, got to see Joseph play a little basketball game yesterday. Put yourself on the basketball court. Before we didn't even know we're playing. Now you know. Now all of a sudden there's some pressure that can mount, can you? Can't it? You're on the free throw line. Game's on the line. You care. You care so much. You're a little nervous and shaky and you clank that thing out the front of the rim. They call it choke, right? And you know, I remember as a kid listening to this game. I was traveling with my dad and I have no idea what game it is. It's what, some football game, and this guy misses the field goal. And the announcer goes, "He tried too hard, the young man did." That's, sometimes you miss because you're trying so hard. You want it so bad. You feel it. You know it's real. And you don't know how to handle that yet. Hey, guys, you know what? You're not in a state of condemnation. That's where you're at. That's God. God is here to help us. Those failures that you may have currently as a Christian, as a brand new Christian, or maybe further in Christ, those do not define you. And we worked on that last week. That's important. Clean conscience today allows you to live today without fear of failure. I get ahead of myself. What is built, though, is where I want to go now. Because what is built is even more important than what's taken away. That old man, that sinner is died and put in that grave. That is good news. But there's something more important here. You think about construction sites. You see them on around town, and you know they bulldoze someplace and run it down, and all you got left is a big old bunch of dirt. And there you see equipment out there, and they're starting to build something. But you know the signs that they have at that place, they always tell you what's coming. They don't remind you of what was there before. So, oh, good, that place is gone. No, that's not even what the focus is. What's coming up here, right? What's being built? What's being put into place? And so that's really, really the good news of Christianity. It's not just that sinner was gone. Boy, I'm glad he was. He's gone. He's dead. He's buried. But there's something that God's working on. Who we are now. Where He's going with us. What He's building. Our focus can't continue to be on the old man. If it is, I guarantee you this. If your whole goal is to be without sin. Notice I said whole goal. If your whole goal is to be without sin, then sin and self are going to be your focus. And you're bound to fail. It can't be your focus. Checking the rearview mirror from time to time is a good idea. But, like Gary pointed out, if you look there too long, smash, right? You gotta keep your eyes ahead where you're going. Okay? Go with me to Matthew chapter 12. There's a scriptural principle here that's really important. And that principle is that you can't just quit doing bad. You gotta replace the bad with good. Okay? Matthew chapter 12. Look at verses beginning of verse 43, and we'll read through verse 45. Then when the unclean spirit goes out of a man, passes through waterless places seeking rest, and doesn't find it. Then it says, I'll return to my house from which I came. When it comes, it finds it unoccupied, swept, and put in order. Then it goes, takes along with it seven other spirits, more wicked than itself, and they go in and live there. And the last day of that man becomes worse than the first. That's the way it will also be with this evil generation. We got something called a prison system. And you know, we got the prisons, and then you got the halfway houses, and then you notice most, for the most part, that's a big revolving door. There's a few people that actually overcome and get out of it and go on, but here's the problem. In jail, you might straighten yourself up temporarily. Sometimes they limit. You can't do all the things you used to do. But if there's nothing changed, if there's nothing in place that's good that's being put in there, guess what? Sooner or later, that stuff's going to come rushing back in. You're back down into the same old rut. And maybe worse off than you were before. Now, this is true across the board. If you don't replace evil thoughts with good thoughts. You know, one thing I've noticed. Sometimes I get a thought or a song or something stuck in my head. I'll just put it in simple terms, drive you crazy. You know, it's repetitive. You're just going, God, I've only figured out one way to get rid of that. And that's, I got to start. If I got some kid song or something that's stuck in there, because, you know, sometimes you hear that stuff when you're a dad, and it's driving me crazy. There's only one way I know how to get that out. I got to start singing a new song. I got to put something. That's the only way I can get that old out. It's the same thing. We got evil thoughts. We got to replace them with good thoughts. You got negative words that are coming out of your mouth. You can't just stop. I mean, there is a time to just zip it. You know, mom's advice, you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all. That works for a while, but at some point, you got to change that. You can't just quit. I remember John Morantic, he quit smoking. He replaced smoking with, I don't remember the order. I think it might have been peanut M&Ms and then Coca-Cola. Is that right? I was studying with John at the time, but you know, he had to replace it. The cigarettes got replaced by peanut M&Ms, and the peanut M&Ms got replaced by Coca-Cola. And I know John doesn't smoke anymore. I'll just leave it at that. the nicotine got replaced by Nikki. Anyways, okay. We're all fired up here. But unrighteous behavior. We got to replace it with good deeds. If we don't, guys, there's a huge void. There's a vacuum, and that vacuum has a tendency to suck back in all the old stuff. People in our world talk about coming out of the closet. I think you know what I'm talking about here. And they don't need to come out of the closet. They need to clean the closet. Right? But when you clean the closet, guess what? You better put good stuff in that closet. You better organize it. You better have a plan for it. Or otherwise, what's that closet become? Let's just think about it. And if I just know physical sense, you clean a closet. If you don't have a purpose for that closet and you don't put some, it just becomes a junk storing place. And all the old junk goes right back in there. It's true. And it's true spiritually. Go with me to 2 Peter chapter 2 and see if you can't miss the connection here. 2 Peter 2 and what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12. Some of the terminology is exactly the same. 2 Peter chapter 2, talking about people that have been in, they became Christians, and then they bail out for, is my terminology on this, but 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20, says, if after they've escaped the defilements of the world, by the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled of them and are overcome, the last state has become worse for them than the first. Hey, isn't that what Jesus said? The last state is worse than the first? Well, what's this evil spirits thing you're talking about? Let's talk about defilements of the flesh. If we become Christians and we don't replace that, we don't fill that void with the Holy Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit, those bad things come in, entangle, overcome, and the last state's worse than the first. So we gotta, we're thankful that old stuff's been torn down. But that's not where we stop. Now we get working on, what's being built here? We start putting in the good stuff, going to work, actually putting into practice some good behaviors. There's an old a cappella song that talking about Christ, and it says, he taught me how to stop doing those things. And there's actually, it's really good words of the song, but my dad changed that part for us. He said, he taught me how to start doing good things. That's the focus. What are you replacing this with? Where are you going? And purpose puts power in living. If you don't have a purpose, you can get run over. You can get sucked back in. You're gonna the pressure that Clint was talking about from the world, that death, they're gonna catch up with you. And purpose puts power in living. We got a relationship now, brethren, with our Heavenly Father. We have a marriage with Him, if you will. The two become one. We got His purpose. We're joining up with Him. His team. This is where we're going. And we live for Him. Doing everything to please Him. Kevin Simpson's son-in-law, Marshall Harbor. There's something I saw him, he put on Facebook here a week or so ago. He says, when Christians aren't doing what they're supposed to be doing, they have all kinds of time to do the things they aren't supposed to be doing. That's true. If you're not, the world says it this way, idle hands. Right? Idle hands are the devil's tool. That's right. If you don't have a purpose and you're not doing what you're supposed to be, you got all sorts of time to get into all sorts of trouble. And you don't have to go looking for it. There's somebody out there that's looking for you. Okay? So, we got to be focused. We got to have a goal. We got to have a purpose. And so, like Jesus, as new creatures, like Jesus, then we do the things that we see our Father doing. Our greatest ambition, 2 Corinthians 5, what's our greatest ambition? To be pleasing to Him. Okay? We got a new purpose in our lives. So, this alive to God, what does that mean? It's tied in with the resurrection. You ever noticed when the Scripture talks about us being saved through immersion and all the denominational folk that want to downplay this, say we're saying we're saved by our works. You look at this almost every time the Scripture gives any sort of lengthy explanation about this. I would say every time the Scripture gives any sort of lengthy explanation about what this is, it is tied in with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You can just take 1 Peter 3:21, corresponding to that, immersion now saves you. Not the removal of dirt from the flesh, but an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Okay? Romans 6, you can't miss it. It's got everything to do, not just with being buried, not just our old self being crucified, but it has to do with us being raised with Christ. It has to do with resurrection. And so the resurrection of Jesus changes everything. Not only does it give us confidence for our eternal destination, but it really empowers us to live righteously today. Let's think about this. What is it that holds you back from being all that you can be? I'm going to pick a word here, and I think it's fair. Go with me to Matthew chapter 25. This is certainly a factor, and maybe the biggest factor to hold us back. Matthew chapter 25, the parable of the talents, there's the one guy that, well, he doesn't give a return, does he? In verse 24, it says, the one also who had received the one talent came up and said, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not know and gathering where you scattered no seed. And I was afraid and went away and hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what's yours. Fear. Fear cripples us. Fear will take you out. Fear can paralyze. Scare you into doing nothing. Maybe it's fear of failure. Hey, we dealt with that last week. Fear of failure, guys, that's gone. We'll really deal with it in Romans 8. But God has not asked us to go and try to hunker in the bunker somewhere. Whatever you do, don't let the shrapnel from the spiritual war, don't let it hit you. Don't let it get you. Maybe that was an Old Testament mindset. There's no power there. But the New Testament mindset is not defensive. Yes, we separate ourselves from the world, but we are marching forward towards something, aren't we? We have a mission. Jesus says about the church, on this rock, He said, I'll build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. Gates of Hades, that's the defensive weapon of Hades. We're on offense. We're going. We're charging. We're taking that. Book of Genesis is really clear in prophecy that the promised one is going to take the gates of their enemies, the seed. Hey, Galatians chapter 3, we are the seed. Fear can paralyze us like that. So God takes away our fear. Fear also can push us into irrational behavior. The fight or flight mechanism, right? Hey, charging around like a chicken with your head cut off. Talking about basketball. They all of a sudden throw the press at you. Man, it gets helter-skelter, right? Everything's chaotic. Maybe panicky a little bit. Fear can make you panic. No reasonable plan. But either way, whichever way fear is hitting you, it's crippling. It makes you unproductive. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 2. I like this. Hebrews 2 verse 14. Since then the children share in flesh and blood, talking about Jesus, it says, He Himself likewise also partook of the same, that through death He might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and might deliver those who through fear of death were subject to slavery all their lives. For assuredly He does not give help to angels, He gives help to the descendant of Abraham, that's to you and I. Jesus went there and He came back. Jesus took away the fear of death. I think every fear, any fear that's out there at some point is traced back to the fear of death. I get a kick out of this, that when they do surveys, more people say that they're afraid of public speaking than they are of death. But I think when you boil it down, what's the worst thing that can happen when you're public speaking? Yeah, Rotten Tomatoes is one thing. Getting bashed over the head. What it is, guys, is people, and I understand this, people don't want to be disrespected. They don't want to be stuck off by themselves. They don't want to be segregated. They don't want to feel alone. Guess what death is? Separation. It's alone. All those fears ultimately are rooted in that. And so, you know, Jesus took that away. I'm thankful for that. You look at the religious rulers while Jesus was on earth, many of them were believing in Him. But they wouldn't follow through on it. They were afraid they're going to get kicked out of the synagogues. They're afraid they're going to be excluded. And it says they loved the approval, they loved the glory of man rather than the glory of God. This physical mentality, not understanding the spiritual realm, this physical was holding them there. You think about how difficult it is to stand for what the Bible says concerning salvation? You are cast out, aren't you? Oh, you guys, you're a cult. You guys think you're the only ones that are right. You guys, people trying to make you feel alone. Christ took that away for us. Hey, faith. Faith's the opposite of fear. We don't have to fear death. We know Jesus went there. We know He came back. Matter of fact, the Scripture would say that Jesus would say that if you're going to fear somebody, fear Him is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. But faith's the opposite of fear. That old saying, fear knocked at the door. Faith answered and no one was there. What is faith? In simple terms, I'm not going to get into habits today. I'll have to save that for next week. But faith is understanding the spiritual reality that we've been raised from the dead, that we're alive to God, the soul and the spirit that live forever can't be hurt. What can they do to you? What can anybody do to you? They cannot. Romans 8 is going to close with this way. Who can separate you? Right? What can separate you from the love of Christ? All these things that are lined up, none of them can separate you from God. You don't have to be afraid of death. There is no separation between you and God. Nothing can cause you to be separated from Him. Jesus says that we've passed out of death into life. Doesn't He say that? If we believe in Him, this is faith issue. We have passed out of death into life. You don't have to be afraid. I got to remind myself of that. Who do I want to be associated with? Saying last week, I tell myself I'm a spiritual man with a heavenly plan. I don't want to get caught up in the political games that are here. You know what I mean by that? The pressure of fitting in. Sometimes you want to say something, but somebody might take it wrong. Hey, if your motives are right, say it. Say it. To save somebody's soul, you got to risk a relationship with them. And at the bottom line is, what relationship do you have with them anyways if they're outside of Christ? If you want a relationship with them, you got to say something. There is a reality here. What God is working on in Romans 6, opening up our spiritual eyes, seeing what is actual. And what's actual is, in those waters of immersion, we were raised from the dead. Clint hit it in the verse he read. If we've died with Him, we also live with Him. We've been raised from the dead. How about Revelation chapter 20? Everybody gets paranoid about, what's that 1,000-year reign? I'm not going to go into all that, David. Verse 6 is really clear. Actually, let's turn there, because that is the key to understand that passage. If you don't understand Revelation 20, verse 6, you're going to be way off on all the rest of it. And these guys don't understand immersion, so of course they're way off. But Revelation 20, verse 6, let's just read this. Blessed and holy is the one who has a part in the first resurrection. Hey, who is that? That's us. That's Jennifer. She did that Tuesday night. Had a part in the first resurrection, right? Over these, the second death has no power. They will be priests of God and of Christ and will reign with Him for 1,000 years. No power. Jesus is the one who holds the keys of death and of Hades. No fear. We're the ones that can actually say that. Because of Jesus' power, of an indestructible life. That's why he's high priest, coordinator, order of Melchizedek, isn't it? Because the power of an indestructible life, we are immortal. You understand that? We've passed out of death. And they can kill the body. They can't touch you. Nobody can touch you. There's power there, brethren. We believe that. We see that. We're standing up with soldiers in this army. We've been raised from the dead. God's Spirit's in us. We can march. March without any fear. Take on the guy in front of us. Sow the word. We can show love to those around us when they are really unloving and unlovable. We'll get into some of the habits and what this looks like next week. We can be like Christ where we go. Here's a weird example, but I think it communicates. Because if it works at that level, we should be able to understand it would certainly work at this level. When I was in Ghana some years ago, these ants came through. These ants are coming through, and literally, it looks like there's a stream that's running across the ground. It's, you know, the particular one that I saw was probably only about this wide, but it's just going and going and going and going. It looks like a stream that's running right through there. How do you stop those ants? They came to the ice noggle's house. It was a different group, I'm sure, than what I saw. But a huge group of them came to their house. And those things, they'll strip the carcass of an elephant. That's a lot of ants. Okay? How do you stop that? Well, what they had to do, they had to get a bunch of kerosene and set on fire outside, kill those ants. Now, consider this. What if those ants were immortal? What if you killed those ants and they came right back to life? How do you stop that? Might as well go move. Now, understand, the devil's got a problem here, doesn't he? How does he stop us? He can't kill us. He can kill the body, he can't kill us. Wherever there's one, he takes up, another one pops up, right? You can't stop this. Do you understand the picture that God's given us? Faith, guys, is getting this. Believe in this. We individually, that sinner died. Individually, we've been raised with Christ. Collectively, do you see the army? There's an army that's marching. It's prophesied. Bone to bone. A little bit later, one of the prophets is going to say, shoulder to shoulder. We're marching next to each other. The devil can't stop that. Dead to sin, that's good news. Alive to God, that's even better. Hey, let's be alive to God and let's go live for Him. Let's stand.